Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we started a new series last week called Gospel-Centered Relationships. And it was a great start last week, and especially the Q&A time that we had afterwards was a really good time together. And if you guys haven't checked out the Q&A session from last week, I encourage you to listen to the Q&A and also to listen to the sermon from last week. And just as a reminder, we do have a link to our Q&A where we gather questions. And so if you have any questions throughout the sermon, you are I want to welcome you to actually ask your questions into that Q&A forum. And then after the service today, right after, we're going to have our Q&A time right here. And we'll be running through some of those questions. And so, again, the link for the Q&A is tiny.cc/ all lowercase FPCQN, the letter N, A. FPCQNA. All right? So last week we talked about the idea of biblical marriage and how marriage is supposed to be this thing that points to the ultimate marriage. It's supposed to be not the point that of the marriage itself. It's not supposed to be the thing that brings us happiness, but it's supposed to be something that points us to the ultimate marriage. It's supposed to point us to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so basically it's this idea of how Jesus and the believers are united together because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, today we're going to be talking about singlehood. And as mentioned in last week's Q&A session, there are so many people that want to get married but haven't yet. And this is a pattern that I've seen all around the world. There's a lot of sisters in the churches, and actually I've seen in even in our neighboring country, the country that's right next door, there are some churches that have up to like 90% sisters. And when I asked them, like, you know, why don't you just choose someone from the church? And they might respond by saying, well, all the men in the church are either married already or they're weird. So there are a lot of people that want to get married, but then there are also others that don't actually want to get married. They want to stay single. And that's actually the topic for today, the lure of singlehood. All right, and so with that, we want to look to the scripture passage today. And so if you have your Bibles, you could turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I want to encourage you, if you do have a Bible in front of you, it could be a hard copy or on your phone, an electronic copy, that's fine. If you have one of these in front of you, I'll tell you the page number as I open to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll start in verse 32, and we're on page 956 if you have one of these Bibles. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, and we'll read to verse 38. This is the reading of God's Word. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart, to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. Amen. The question that I want to ask this morning is, what does freedom mean to you? What does freedom mean to you? Does freedom come when you are allowed to do whatever you want? If you're allowed to do whatever you want, are you still not bound to your own desires? And if others also did whatever they wanted, does it not mean captivity for you? What I mean is, if a person wanted to use their freedom to take advantage of you, then is that true freedom for everyone? Where does true freedom come from? What does freedom actually look like? Are you more free if you're single? Are you bound if you're married? Are people possibly bound when they are single? And is it possible to be free when a person is married? The only way to find true freedom is to be bound to Jesus Christ. And so that leads us to our main idea today. The main idea is, be faithful to the ultimate marriage. And if you guys are paying attention, yes, this is the same main idea from last week. What do I mean by this? Be faithful to Jesus Christ. Be faithful to your relationship with Jesus. Keep that in mind. The way to find true freedom is to be bound to Jesus Christ. Be faithful to that ultimate marriage, your relationship with Jesus. The three points that we're going to go over today are the point of singlehood, the lure of singlehood, and the ultimate marriage. All right, so once again, the main idea is be faithful to the ultimate marriage, or in other words, the only way to find true freedom is to be bound to Jesus Christ. So let's talk about this first idea, the point of singlehood. Why does God allow for some people, for people to have a period of time in their lives to be single? What is the point of being single? Especially if everyone seems to have to get married. At least this is the narrative in many societies today. A lot of cultures, a lot of nations all around the world will say people should get married. So then what is the point of singlehood? Well, let's look to our first verse today. In verse 32 it says, I want you to be free from anxieties. So the point of being single is to be free from anxieties, right? Because if you get married, you're going to have a lot of anxieties. And remember the quote from last week? Marriage is not a word, it's a sentence, a life sentence, right? All joking aside, what is this passage actually saying? Well, the whole chapter, if you look at the whole of chapter 7, it's the author of 1 Corinthians is a guy named Paul, and Paul is addressing the issues of marriage and singlehood. And he mentions that in verse 26 that there is a present distress that's going on that may cause additional stress as it is anyways, and so there's no need to add more stress by becoming married or by divorcing. And then so we come to verse 32. So as you go through all of chapter 7, he talks about marriage, he talks about singlehood, and then we come to verse 32 and it says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord. And I think we have it on the screen here, if we could get to the screen. The next one, yes, thank you. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit. not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Now, just real quick before we move on, this word betrothed comes up multiple times, and yes, it means that there's someone that's engaged or someone that is supposed to get married to another person, and it's already determined, it's a set-up marriage, it's already determined that they're going to get married to each other. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that they are, it could mean that they're engaged, or it just means that they're promised to marry someone later on in the future. And so it could just mean an unmarried person. All right. With everything that we just read, especially that last portion, to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord, the point of singlehood is not just about being free from anxieties, but it's about being able to put all your attention and all your devotion to the Lord. In other words, just as we talked about last week, and just as we have the same main idea today, the main idea is be faithful to the ultimate marriage. The point of singlehood, once again, is this idea of being able to give your full devotion to the Lord. Being faithful and continually working at your relationship with the Lord, even in your singlehood. And so what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, that means something like you continue to focus on getting to know who the Lord is by reading scripture. You continue to take time to pray, recognizing that your life is hopeless without the Lord. You take advantage of all the time and the resources that you have, and you spend the time to use your gifts and your abilities to serve the church, and you take the time to reach out to other people. You take the time to, I put this in here, but in the COVID era, it's a little bit more difficult. But making yourself available to travel and to go on mission trips and to take the time to actually use your free time to reach out to the homeless, to reach out to the orphans, to reach out to the city, to share with people the gospel. It's this idea of using all of your time, your efforts, your mindset, to reach out to other people and to live for the Lord, whether they are in the church or whether they're outside of the church. Taking the time to go to the community groups. Taking the time to go to the prayer meetings. This is the idea of being fully devoted to the Lord. And what I'm not saying is quitting your job and then just living like a pastor yourself. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is while you're working, you're devoted to the Lord. While you're at home, you're devoted to the Lord. Using your free time for the Lord. Using even your work time in your work to do that for the Lord. An example is something that I used to think about when I was younger. And not to say that I was perfect in this. I definitely was not. But one thing that I would share with other people when I was still single before I got married was that I knew that I was going to get married. Because according to the Bible here, it says, if you have a strong passion, if you have a fire that cannot be quenched, basically if you have this strong desire for sex, okay, you should get married. And I had that. And so I knew I needed to get married. It was very difficult for me to control. I knew I needed to get married, but the thought that I had was, knowing that I'm going to get married one day, what that meant was that my time as a single person was limited. And this single time, this time of being single, was a precious time. It's a time where I had a lot of time to be able to devote my efforts and everything to live for the Lord. And so what I did was I said, I'm going to take advantage of this time, knowing that my time is limited, and I'm going to use all of my free time to use it for the Lord. And so I would go to work, and I would try to build relationships with people. I would try to do my best at my job. And then in my lunchtime, sometimes I would skip my lunchtime and I would meet with other Christians and we would pray for our CEO and we would pray for our coworkers. We would try to build relationships and then go to lunch with my Muslim coworkers. I would do that. Or after work, I would go out with some of my coworkers to the bar, and so that I would be able to share a little bit of life with them. I used to sit down with my boss here and there, and I would ask about how his life was going and wonder just about his life, and I would say that I would be praying for him. But not only that, after I would finish work, I would go out to do campus ministry. I would go out and reach out to people that were in my church. I would try to spend all of my time listening to podcasts, listening to sermons, listening to different things that were on the radio, just to fill my mind with the Lord and to live for the Lord. Again, I didn't do this perfectly, but this was my mindset, that I wanted to spend my time and spend all of my efforts for the Lord, because I knew that once I got married, that my life would be different from that time forward. This is the idea. Again, I don't want to set myself up as like, you know, I'm such a great person. I'm not. But this is the idea that Paul is talking about. I want you to be free from anxieties, because a person that is unmarried, they are able to fully devote themselves to the Lord. But if a person is married, then their interests are going to be divided. Paul is not saying to get married is a bad thing. It's a good thing. But if you do get married, your interests are going to be divided and you're not going to be able to spend all of your mind, your energy, your efforts for the Lord. Whether you are a Christian or not, when a person is not married, you have the opportunity to give your full devotion to something. And according to the Bible, that devotion should be upon the Lord. But again, many times, whether you are a believer or not, we are not wholly devoted to the Lord. And that's where we come to our second point, the lure of singlehood. The first point was the point of singlehood. And the second point is the lure of singlehood. If you're not bound to Jesus, you're going to be bound to something else. Paul says, I want you to be free from anxieties. I want you to be free so that you can be fully devoted to the Lord. But for some of us, we hear this and we think, oh man, be fully devoted to the Lord? Live fully as a strong Christian, it almost sounds like a fundamentalist. It almost sounds like a fanatic. It sounds like bondage. How does being wholly devoted to Jesus give us freedom? And some of us might have this kind of question in our mind. And in a way, you're right for asking this question. Being wholly devoted to something does make you in bondage. You do become a slave to that thing, and you are fully controlled by that thing that you're devoted to. And so if you're not bound to Jesus, you will be bound to something else. And in some way, we will always be slaves to something. If it's not to Jesus, it's going to be to something else. Whether it be your family, your career, your finances, you're going to be bound to something. Your idea of freedom, you're going to be bound to that. Whatever we're bound to, we think that that thing is going to be the answer for what brings me happiness. Whatever we look to, that thing becomes the thing that we hope in. And that's the thing that we think, if I could just achieve that thing, it's going to bring me the rest that I'm looking for. It's going to bring me the joy that I'm looking for. It's going to bring me all the things, the comfort and the security that I'm looking for, if I could just get that thing. And you become bound to that idea. Now, we're talking about the lure of singlehood, and some people might be asking, why would anyone want to stay single? Well, some people might desire to stay single because they want to advance their careers. Right? And so some people might say they're too busy to pursue marriage. Some people, they desire to stay single because they don't want to be tied down. They don't want to be bound to someone. And so they have that idea, yeah, marriage is not a word, it's a sentence. It's a life sentence. So they're the kinds of people that maybe want to have a lot of fun. They want to perhaps be free, and they just do want to do whatever they want to do. They want to, they want to spend their time however they want to spend their time. Some people, maybe they desire to stay single because they've been so hurt by past relationships, and they just feel like, that's not the answer for me. I'm going to find some other way to find security and happiness and rest in my life. And so I want to stay away from marriage because it's just, I know it's not going to be helpful to me. Whatever the reason may be, there are people that say, I don't want to get married. I want to stay single. And if you listen carefully to the reasons, what comes out underneath all of that is, I want freedom. I want to be free. I want to be free from all the hurts and pains that might come from marriage. I want to be free to be able to do what I want to do and pursue my career. I want to be free to live a life of just freedom. Just I want to sleep with whoever I want. I want to pursue whatever I want to pursue. I want to go out and travel the way that I want. I want to do the things that I want to do. I want to be free. This is not the only group that seeks singlehood. There is another group of people that actually seeks singlehood. There are some people that are married that also seek singlehood. Another word for that is divorce. They want to get out of their marriage because there are so many troubles within that marriage. And they want to seek, again, to be free. They want to be freed from all the troubles because they may say, my spouse is too demanding. My spouse is too different. I've heard some people say in the past, my spouse is too dirty. There are all kinds of reasons that people give. Some desire to become single because they don't feel in love anymore. They say, I want to be freed from my spouse because I don't feel loved. I don't feel cared for. I don't feel stimulated. That person doesn't attract me anymore. I don't feel any connection to that person anymore. I don't feel excitement with this person anymore. My spouse just doesn't live up to my standards. And so some people, they want to be free so that maybe they can find all of these things. And so we have a situation where most singles want to get married, and many married people want to become single. And that's why we see, just as I mentioned last week in statistics in Taiwan, that 40% of marriages end up in divorce. Why? Why? Because everyone, if you're not bound to Jesus, you're going to be bound to something that drives you. And you're going to be unhappy whether you are single or married. And you're bound to that thing and you're wanting that thing. And you think that that thing is the thing that's going to bring you happiness. And you keep searching for it and you won't find it. You can't help but to give into that lure of marriage or of singlehood. Again, if you're not bound to Jesus, you're going to be bound to something else. The only way to actually find freedom is to be bound to Jesus Christ. And that's where we come to our third point, the ultimate marriage. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you look at the whole thing. What's really interesting is that you'll find that the whole chapter is talking about marriage. And let's see, I think we could skip this part. Oh, sorry, let's go back. I think I may have put the wrong verse up there. So I'll just read from the Bible, all right? If you look at the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you'll see that there's a section in the beginning that talks about singleness and married life. Afterwards, towards the end, you'll also find that it talks about singleness and marriage. But there's this really interesting section in the middle that where it seems like it has nothing to do with marriage and singlehood. And so when people read through this whole chapter, they're wondering, what is this all about? Why does it mention this? And so let me read that for us a little bit. In verse chapter 7, verses 22 to 24, it says this: "For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free from when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God." Okay. Let me try to summarize what the idea is here. So it talks again about circumcision, which seems just out of the blue. And then it talks about people that are slaves. Again, it seems like it's out of the blue. But the whole idea that Paul is trying to get at is remain as you are. Be content with where you're at. If you're single, stay single. If you're married, stay married. Don't seek to get married. Don't seek to get a divorce. If you are, whatever you are at this point right now, stay as you are. And then so he continues to talk about this idea by saying, look, if you were circumcised, and I don't know how this works, but don't take away the signs of circumcision. But that's what it says. It says, if you're circumcised, then just remain as you are. If you're not circumcised, then remain as you are. If you're a slave, remain as you are. If you have the opportunity to be free, go ahead, be free. That's great. But if you're not free, then just remain as you are. And if you are free, then remain as you are. Because whether you're a slave to someone or not, you are free in the Lord and you are bound to Jesus Christ. This is a really interesting idea. The way to find true freedom is if you are bound to Jesus Christ. The way to find freedom from anything that lures you into seeking happiness or joy from that thing, the way to find freedom from that thing is to not be bound by those things, but to be bound in Jesus Christ, to Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to be bound to Jesus? Matthew chapter 11 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The picture here is there is this yoke where normally two ox would carry that yoke and they would do the work together. But Jesus says, "Have my yoke upon you. I am on one side and you can be bound to me with this same yoke. But take my yoke upon you and you will find that you are actually free. That my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the reason why this is possible is because for us, we try to find that freedom. We try to find that joy. We try to find the security. We try to find all these things in the things of this world. But those things actually bind us. And we're seeking freedom, but we find ourselves continually bound to those things. Continually being hurt. Continually feeling anxious. Continually feeling like there's no way out. And remember the passage today? Paul says, "I want you to be free from all these anxieties." And the only way that we could really find that freedom is by looking to Jesus. Jesus was actually completely free. He was not bound to anything. But he was willing to be bound for us. He was bound to the Father's will. He was bound and was taken to the cross, and he was willing to do that so that when he died on the cross, all of our sins, those things that which bind us, the sin that we committed because we take our eyes off of God and we look to these other things that we think would free us, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was willing to be bound so that we can actually be free from those things. He was bound with the heavy yoke. He took the whole burden upon himself so that we could feel free. So that we could finally find that rest. So that we could finally find joy. What does that mean? What does it mean to actually take the yoke of Jesus upon you? What does it mean to actually find freedom in Jesus Christ? Well, this is what it says in Galatians 5. It says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." So what does it mean to actually be bound to Christ and to experience that freedom and to be free so that we would actually begin to love one another? What does that look like? Well, let me just share with you guys. Last night, I felt the burden. This wasn't a part of my original manuscript here in my sermon outline, but I experienced exactly what I wanted to talk about today. Last night, I felt this burden on my heart. It was so strong that I felt I couldn't sleep. I was trying to take deep breaths. And I was trying to calm myself down so that I could sleep. And I felt this burden that was on me. I was anxious. Paul was saying, "I want you to be free from anxieties." I wasn't feeling free, and I wanted to break free from that. And so what did I do? What does it look like to actually look to Jesus, to look to the ultimate marriage, and to be bound to Jesus? What does that look like? What I did was, in that moment, I prayed, and I said, "God, I don't know what's going on in my heart. Help me to see what's going on in my heart." And I started thinking, what is it that I'm really being bound by right now? What is it? And the thing that bound me was this idea of, I want to be accepted. I want to know deep in my heart that I don't have any trouble with anyone. I want to be accepted fully. But I didn't feel that. And I was being burdened by this idea of, you're not accepted. People are going to blame you. You're not doing things right. And these thoughts were going through my mind, and I was thinking, I know that's not true, God. And I was praying, Jesus, I know that you were bound so that I could be set free. And this idea of, I want to be accepted, was just so strong. I just kept feeling bound. And that feeling, my heart pounding, my heart racing, all of those things were temptations for me to believe that I'm not accepted, I'm not wanted, I'm doing everything wrong. It was a temptation for me to believe in that thing. But in that moment last night, I was trying to pray, Jesus, I know that you are bound for me. And so tonight, even though I'm feeling this way, help me to believe that I am free. I'm free from this desire to be fully accepted. Because no matter what, I know that you accept me fully. You are willing to die for me. I want to be free from this feeling. Lord Jesus, help me to believe that you have set me free. I know that you fully accept me. I know that you are willing to sacrifice yourself for me. I don't feel it right now, Lord, but help my unbelief. Help me. And I prayed and I prayed, and eventually I fell asleep. This morning I woke up and that feeling came back and my heart was racing. And again, it was that temptation that was coming back to say, believe in that thing, believe in that thing, believe that if people would just accept you, then you will feel free. And I had to keep reminding myself, no, even if I were to look to that thing, I'm not going to be free. I'm not going to feel free. Lord Jesus, help me to remember that you are bound for me. And that even if I don't feel free right now, I'm willing to be bound for this moment, to remember that you were bound for me. And because of what you've done, I've been set free. Help me, Lord. Help me believe this. For those of us that are single and looking to our singleness to be free, remember that nothing in this world will set you free. Only Jesus will set you free. For those of us that are married, that want to be set free from your marriage, remember, nothing will set you free, even if you become single. Nothing will set you free. Only Jesus will set us free. And what it calls us to do is to remember and believe in the promises of Jesus Christ, that he has set you free. To keep reminding yourself, and even when the temptations come to not believe in this, to remind yourself that Jesus has indeed set me free. And if I'm able to remember that, then my sight won't be on myself and my need to set myself free. Rather, I can actually begin to take my eyes off of myself, and I'm able to begin to serve other people with love. That's what this verse is talking about. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. The latter part of what we read today in our passage in 1 Corinthians 7 says, if anyone thinks that he's not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong, it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It's okay to get married. It's no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and is has determined this in his heart, to keep her as his betrothed. And basically what this means is that you've decided not to get married, even though that person was promised to you, deciding not to get married, it says he will do well. So then he who marries his betrothed does well. And he who refrains from marriage will do even better. Because that person is deciding. And this is the case for people that are married as well. Deciding in your heart that you want to fully devote yourself to the Lord. But that heart, that belief, it's not going to be perfect all the time. And so we continue to look to the Lord who gives us the strength to believe. We continue to look to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I failed again and again, and I need you to help me even with my belief. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much that you are the answer to everything in our lives. All the ways that we try to find freedom in this world. And sometimes we think that if we were to be single, that we would be able to find that freedom. But Lord, help us to remember over and over again, whether we are single or married, whether we want to become married or not, Lord, the ultimate freedom that we can find is going to be when we find ourselves bound to you. When we remember the ultimate marriage, the relationship that we have with you. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us. May we continue to remember the love that you have shown to us, the way that you decided to be bound because you loved us. Lord, help us to remember these things, and may we be filled with your love. May we be filled with your rest. May we be filled with your joy. May we be filled with your security, knowing that you've accomplished everything for us. And Lord, with everything that we received, may we learn to serve one another with your love. I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.